Open your Bibles to Malachi. We're going to be looking at some scriptures there in just a few moments. I'm going to be talking about today, taking a look at and examining the concept of sacrifice. Now, most of us know that the greatest sacrifice that one can make is to give his life for another. And I have an example to just to illustrate that. And this example involves an Air Florida Flight 90 back in the early 80s that crashed off after hitting a bridge and went on into the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. It has particular sentiment for me because I flew into Washington quite a bit. And so it reminds me of the times that I had to fly in there. But this flight took off right after a severe snowstorm and the temperatures were very low. And they de-iced the wings, but it was a delay for this plane to take off and they didn't de-ice the wings again. And so when they took off, they clipped the Potomac Bridge. They clipped the bridge and went on into the Potomac River. All but six passengers were killed in the initial disaster. Now, it took 20 minutes for a helicopter to arrive to rescue the survivors. And after getting one man to safety in the helicopter, the rescuers threw a life ring to Arlen Williams, who immediately passed it to the passenger next to him. The helicopter transported the first two to safety and then returned. And three times the helicopter hovered over the survivors, and each time Arlen Williams gave the safety ring to the passenger next in line. And when the helicopter came back a final time, Arlen Williams had drowned. He used the last ounce of his strength to save complete strangers. This is what sacrifice really is. When we read that it's better the one can make is to give his life for another, we see an example here. Now, I doubt any of us here this morning will ever be confronted with this type of sacrifice. At least I would pray, because none of us really know how we will react at such a situation. But what I want us to understand is that we are called on to sacrifice in other ways as God's people. And it's, I think, essential that we understand that. Now, the book of Malachi was the last message of God to ancient Israel. And by the time of the writing of this book, Israel had rebuilt the temple, set up the altars, were presenting offerings to God, and was observing the feast and paying the tithes. And it's important to remember that. Yet, look at what God says in chapter 1 and verse 6 through the prophet Malachi. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? We have here an idea that the service of these priests to God was ineffective because all of this was without the character of true sacrifice that comes from the heart. True sacrifice requires a cost of something. In the case of Arlen Williams, it cost him his life. The ultimate sacrifice. And true sacrifice comes from the heart. We can learn lessons, I think, from the prophet Malachi. Let's read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 first. And now this commandment is for you, O priest, if you do not listen and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. Yes, they had returned. Yes, they had set up the temple. Yes, they had set up altars. Yes, they were presenting offerings to God. Yes, they were observing the feasts and paying the tithes. But what was the problem? They did not have their heart in the right place. Now let's read Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Again, we'll start with verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of God, the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? How have they despised his name? Well, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind of sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer to your governor? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now you will not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us with such an offering on your part. Will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there was one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. What we have here is a people of God who had profaned the relationship with God. They ceased to honor God. They called him Father, yet they despised his name by offering him not their best from the heart. An act that God says is even insulting to an earthly governor. They had made their relationship with God something common and ordinary. My friends, we too today can dishonor Christ in our life in much the same way. We can profess to know God, but yet deny him. I think this is the point that Paul is making in Titus 1, 15 and 16, when he says to the pure, all things are pure, but those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. How? They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless, he says, for any good. Paul is saying that in spite of the fact that we verbally profess to know God, we claim to be Christians, we can deny him by our very actions, by how we live in our service to him. What we do, if we're not careful, is worthless to God if we don't sacrifice as God wants us to sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if a man is in Christ, he will be a new creature. And old things have passed away. What Paul is saying is that when we take on life, our actions will be changed. Our lives will take on a new character. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When we serve God by his standards, by his love, with our hearts, as he chooses, we are honoring him with our hearts. But when we insult him with our sacrifices, we are detestable and we are worthless. The point that Malachi is making in chapter 1 is that the Israelites were sacrilegious by the way they were offering to God. Sacrilege centers in giving God something that costs nothing. And the Israelites were offering the blind and the lame, and in doing this, they showed disrespect for God, who deserves honor and respect. David understood what it meant to offer God that which cost. In 2 Samuel 24:18 through 25, David refused to make an offering to God unless it cost him something. God values the gift, my friends, not by the intrinsic value or the intrinsic worth, but by its cost to the giver and the manner in which it is given. This is the message that Jesus was conveying in Mark 12:41-44. This is a passage we all know well. But let's just turn there a minute and let's read Mark 12:41-44. Mark 12:41-44. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." She made a true sacrifice. They did not. They were putting in out of their surplus. So the question is, how do we render service to God? That's the real issue. Malachi 1:10 makes it clear that the Israelites were rendering service to God. That was useless. Yes, there was service, but it wasn't accepted by God. It was not service from a heart of self-denial, a service that cost the people. It was an outward form of service only. God's people must be zealous of serving Him that comes from the heart and grows out of self-denial. We must come to Him with true sacrifice in our lives. Listen to how Paul puts it to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Titus 2, 11 through 15. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and world desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good works. These things speak and exhort and prove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." God sanctified His Son to redeem us, a people zealous for good works. Well, what kind of attitude led the Israelites to the point that they were serving God in such a sacrilegious way? Malachi gives us the answer. Turn back to Malachi. And let's begin in verse 12 and read verse 12 and 13. He says, "You are profaning it," that is, the offering, "in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, 'My, how tiresome it is.' And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord?" You know, he says that they had grown weary of doing good. They have tired of giving the Lord what He wanted. When the Lord says they had disdainfully sniffed at it, he is saying they went like this. You know? He is saying they belittled Him by bringing to Him what they wanted to bring. And in effect, they were robbing God of His honor. We must not become like this in this world today. The religious world shows the evidence of serving God with this very attitude. And we can too if we're not cautious. They do not give God what He wants. They do not serve Him from the heart. They cry for entertainment and worship. They say, "We want to be entertained. Give us family life centers with gymnasiums and basketball courts and large social halls. We will serve God as long as it is pleasing to us. Today, the religious world excuses sin, glosses over evil, lowers the standard of right conduct, all the while professing to know God. The bottom line is this. Malachi teaches that sacrifice to the Jewish nation had become a matter of convenience. And therein lies the problem. They would sacrifice as long as it didn't cause them to be put out. As long as it didn't require real work. As long as it didn't cause them any disadvantage in their lives. So the question is, how about us? Are we growing weary in well-doing? Do we say, oh, I'll give time to the Lord as long as it doesn't interfere with my activities, with my recreation, with my entertainment, with my pursuit in life? You know, let us not reach the point in our lives where our service to God is merely an outward form. That is right on the surface. On the surface, it's right. But in all reality, it's a service of convenience. It's what we want. It's convenient for us to do that. It's convenient. It's a service of convenience, rather than a service that is characterized by coming from the heart, one of sacrifice and self-denial. That's what sacrifice is all about. Denying what I want. And looking at what God wants. And saying, I'm going to give Him what He needs. Are we making decisions and pursuing our service to God in such a way that we can truly say our lives are a living sacrifice to God? Or are we saying, oh, I'll come to services as long as it's convenient for me. I'll be here Wednesday night as long as it's convenient to me. You know, I'll give the Lord what He wants just as long as it doesn't interfere with my desires. And so, outwardly, we look like we're serving God. The question is, are we serving Him from the heart as He wants? You know, I can't answer that question for anyone but myself. And that sometimes it's a difficult question. Because on the one hand, I got to do what God wants me to do. And on the other hand, it's what I want. And the question is, when we start putting the two in the back up against one another, who rises and who falls? That's the real issue that we all have to answer. It goes somewhat to the heart of what Nathan was talking about this morning. When we're tempted, we get certain temptations and we say, oh, I can overcome that temptation. And why do we do that? Because it's easy for us. It's convenient. But in other times now, wait a minute. Oh, you're not asking me, are you, Lord, to do that? Huh? Really? You're going to make it a sacrifice like that? We have to look at our hearts. Our hearts is what's going to tell us what we need to do. If we truly are serving God. In understanding what He needs. Each member here and each visitor here who claims and professes to be a Christian must answer this question for themselves. Are we making decisions that truly says in our lives that we are living sacrifices to God? That's what Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says. We must offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. The issue is how we do that. And do we make it a matter of convenience because it's easy for us to do? Or do we deny ourselves when it's difficult to do? When we're not really liking what we have to do? That's what sacrifice is all about. Sacrifice means that it cost us something. And each one of us has to determine where that balance is and what I'm doing to serve the God of heaven, the God who has redeemed me from my sins, the God who gives me hope. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. I want to read the last chapter of the very last book in the Old Testament. This is the final admonition. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves upon from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. God did not turn his back on his people. Even though they were not sacrificing as he wanted, even though they were despising his name, even though they were not honoring him, God did not turn his back on the people. He gave them hope, but he made it clear that there are consequences from those who don't honor him as they know they must. And honor means we are willing to sacrifice. We are willing to deny ourselves. We are willing and we understand that Christianity, true Christianity from the heart, is not a religion of convenience. It's not. It's one of hope. It's one that will provide for us a life here on this earth that has harmony to it, peace with it, and love as part of it. As we look at what God says, and as we honor him and sacrifice, with the sacrifice that he wants, every day of every minute of every week of every month of every year, as long as we breathe air. Is it going to be easy? Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. And it's when the sometimes that are no that we have to stand back and look at ourselves and honestly look at our hearts and say, God, I'm doing this for you. It's a sacrifice. It's what you've asked. And I'm going to live it. And I'm going to breathe it. And I'm going to do it. Because someday you are going to return. And I want to be on your side. I want to go to heaven where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, where I am in the presence of God, Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, sitting around a throne and singing songs to you and worshiping you. That's the end goal. That's why we need to be able to say, I will deny myself and sacrifice for you. The Israelites, Malachi said, you all think you are worshiping God. You all believe you are doing what God wants. But let me tell you something. The prophet said, let me tell you something. You're despising His name. Despising the name of God the Father in heaven, who has given you what you need. Let us never get to that point in our lives. Let us always say, you come first, God. Others come second. And I am last. And I am going to sacrifice because I am last. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Jesus Christ, if you've never come to Him with a repentant heart, knowing that the life that we have is the life that He gives us, confessing His name, repenting of whatever is amiss in our lives, and being baptized for the remission of our sins, this is the opportunity, if you know what you need to do. And if, as Nathan said, you've been tempted, you've not sacrificed as you really do need to sacrifice at times, brethren here will help. All of us, believe me, all of us are in the same boat. All of us are paddling together to get that boat to the end. And we can help each other if we just take our oar and paddle. And when we see someone else who's tired and falling down, let's take their oar too. Let's give them a hand. And let's all get to heaven together. If there's any way that we can serve you, let it be known as we stand and sing the song.